One of the biggest flops of all time released earlier this year, but barely anyone even noticed. Netflix's The Electric State, with its rumored $320 million production budget, was the 13th most expensive film ever made. But the film flopped so badly that most people didn't even know existed. Based on the illustrated novel of the same name, people were expecting more of the same, a journey through a decaying corporate wasteland. And it's definitely what they ended up getting, but probably not in the way they thought. Netflix chose this quiet meditation on our materialistic world, and with no hint of irony, turned it into a goofy CGI-heavy blockbuster. The quiet emotion of the book was thrown out to replace with the big-name actors playing focus-grouped characters reading out preachy speeches. This film could easily end up poisoning the careers for lots of people involved, and it's yet another failure for the Russo brothers, who have been looking for success ever since quitting the MCU. The Electric State's failure adds weight to the accusations that they're franchise caretakers, not directors, that they're more skilled at creating someone else's vision rather than making their own. Millie Bobby Brown, who played one of the starring roles, has also come away with a bitter taste in her mouth. Most critics have agreed her acting wasn't very different from the literal robots in the movie, and it doesn't help that she's been typecast in pretty much the same role ever since. While she's seen some success with her appearances in the Godzilla films, it hasn't really been enough to show that she's got what it takes to make it outside the Netflix bubble. For Netflix, though, the ones actually losing money, the damage has been superficial. We don't know how much the film lost because it didn't sell any tickets anyway. And while it didn't spend very long in the top spot, it was never meant to be Netflix's crown jewel in the first place. Despite its massive cost, it only accounted for 1.5% of their content budget. That's all it was to them, content for the subscription machine which pulls in billions every month anyway. And so following its awful release, Netflix's shares actually went up slightly, which might help us understand why nobody cared about both the film and how badly it flopped. Because recently big movie flops have become so common these days, it's almost impossible to keep track of them all. Hollywood itself has been floundering ever since the pandemic, with box office numbers down 5% since 2024 and a staggering 38% since 2019. The rot's been creeping in for a lot longer than that, though. When it comes to box office flops these days, no studio has seen more of them than Disney, and for them, it began over a decade ago. It first became visible with the easily forgettable John Carter. From the beginning, John Carter was meant to create a whole new franchise for Disney. Adapted from the Barsoom series of books, Disney had nearly a dozen volumes to work with. The books had laid the foundations for a good chunk of science fiction, plenty of room for sequels, and even merchandise. It could have been due nearly a decade before Dune was even made. The problems, though, came in production. The director, Andrew Stanton, who had seen major success directing Pixar films, just wasn't happy with how this was turning out. He pushed for more reshoots and rewrites, but they cost far more than for animated films, and they never really made the difference. As costs overran, the budget just kept on inflating and inflating until it ended up overshadowing everything else. Meanwhile, Disney had no real idea about how to market it and actually get people excited. The Barsoom series had been immensely popular in its day, so popular that most sci-fi knowingly or unknowingly borrowed its ideas. But by 2012, all of the story's ideas and plot points had already been exploited and built on by other properties like Star Wars. Disney were pretty much trying to remake Star Wars, but they couldn't use its setting on Mars as the marketing, because previous Mars-based films had all flopped as well. They couldn't even name it after the book it was based on, because calling it The Princess of Mars would turn off the mostly male audience Disney were trying to capture. So Disney ended up with a film that needed to make $600 million just to break even, but barely made even half that amount, losing an estimated $200 million. Stanton went back to the animated world of Pixar, and Disney's chairman resigned. So, you would expect their success with the Avengers later that same year to seal the deal. But while it definitely solidified their plans for a full Marvel transition, Disney have never been good at learning lessons the first time. I started this YouTube channel because I wanted to be able to share my ideas and thoughts with the rest of the world. And I know some of you want to do this too, but it can get overwhelming with the time and skills needed to do the same. But what if you had your own production team without spending all of your money? Well, NVIDIA AI enables you to do just that. All you gotta do is type in the idea you want to create a video about.
I'm Dr. Eliza Stern, and I never thought I'd see this day. For millions of years, we've ruled this planet.
And this is super game-changing, as you can even edit whatever you like using simple text commands like add my voice and make the video more intense. And unlike traditional video tools with steep learning curves that only solve for parts of your video creation process, NVIDIA is the creative partner that you've always wanted. It removes all the friction and puts you in the director seat, letting users focus entirely on their vision and their idea while NVIDIA AI does all the heavy lifting. And you can try NVIDIA AI for free. This will save you hundreds of dollars that you would otherwise spend on editing, animating, and other production costs. In 2013, they released The Lone Ranger. This also had lots of the same problems as John Carter, adapting an IP that was far older than its intended audience with an overinflated budget and confused marketing. The results were largely the same as well, a massive loss for the studio and the final nail in the coffin for their live-action semi-original blockbuster dreams. It showed Disney that to avoid flops, they had to lean on Marvel and other IPs as much as possible. And for a long time, this worked like a dream. Marvel dominated the box office, even the worst entries made hundreds of millions. And despite people predicting an end of the superhero era for years, it never actually came. The MCU culminated in two of the biggest, most profitable movies of all time with Infinity War and Endgame. Then, even after they had been and gone, even when they were getting worse reviews and fans were getting tired, later MCU films still made money. That was until The Marvels. You could see why Disney had kept their money machine going for so long. But by 2023, the MCU was running on fumes. The biggest actors had now left, and the replacements failed to properly fill their shoes. This had been coming for a while. Films like Thor: Love and Thunder or the second Doctor Strange film had been profitable, but they'd also met resistance from fans for poor effects, repetitive themes, and tired, forgettable plots. Other films like the third Ant-Man film failed as well, but that had always been a weaker part of the franchise. While John Carter had flopped because audiences had no idea what they were going to actually see, The Marvels failed because of the opposite reason. People knew exactly what they were going to see without any of the bits that made it worth watching. Wider audiences didn't recognize characters from the MCU TV shows that were making their first cinematic appearance. Despite how hard Marvel had tried to push Captain Marvel as the new big superhero, both the casual and the longtime fans weren't especially keen on her either. The classic MCU formula was there, as well as their habit of pandering to empty politics, but the actors, the excitement, the anticipation, even the CGI just wasn't there anymore. Even the name was just milquetoast. The Marvels to most people seemed like the most bog-standard name possible for an MCU film, a representation that the film had no draw beyond having the same name behind its previous installments, which is why, unsurprisingly, it died at the box office. It might have even helped if it was controversial, but nobody cared about the film for any reason whatsoever. For the second time after a failed Ant-Man sequel, Disney burnt money on a Marvel film. With an estimated loss of $200 million once it was all said and done, it would only get worse. After a decade and a bit of megahits off the back of the MCU and other properties, Disney was just left floundering. They faced the same problems they had in 2012 when John Carter flopped, only this time they had nowhere else left to turn. As we've seen, their attempts since then to stabilize things just haven't worked either. And it would be too easy to make this whole video about Disney with how many flops they've made recently. But before we get too caught up with them, we ought to focus on some of the other studios for a second. Looking at Disney, the other studios started to get their own ideas. First, they saw them bomb over and over again when making anything halfway original. Then they saw them completely reverse their fortunes by betting big on a couple of franchises and winning the jackpot. Right around the time that the MCU started taking off, the other studios were already getting their plans together for their own cinematic universes. Sony were no strangers to franchise fodder. They've been making buckets of money from their ownership of the James Bond IP. Skyfall alone had pulled in over $1 billion in 2012, but the franchise was limited to just one film every few years. They couldn't just pump them out. So they needed something with lots of different main characters. So, like lots of other studios, they naturally drifted towards superheroes. While Warner Bros. Had been having their own problems with getting the DC Universe started, Sony had so much less to work with. While they did still have Spider-Man, that was about it, and they were already halfway through their own separate trilogy. The Amazing Spider-Man films had been dreamt up before the need for a whole cast of different characters to spawn their own spin-off films. But instead of letting that play out, they tried to turn the second film of the trilogy into a vehicle to promote a new extended universe. While the film turned out generally okay and made a respectable profit, the reviews were poor. It wasn't a great result and definitely not enough to base 20 other films off of it. So Sony took a step back. Clearly they couldn't try and reboot Spider-Man yet again. The character is pretty much dead to them. Instead, they finally let Marvel use him in the MCU, as long as they got most of the money. It would make them billions, obviously. But one slice of the cake wasn't enough for them. They still wanted their own one as well. Sony still had the rights to some of the Spider-Man villains knocking around. Naturally, they just chose the most popular one, Venom, and tried to make him into his own franchise. And while the first film was decently profitable and they managed to squeeze a few sequels out of the final result, it wasn't enough for a whole cinematic universe. The proof came with our next big flop, Morbius. By now, everyone knows the story, but what makes it even more tragic was how much hope Sony had had for the film. With Venom having done fairly well, another good Spider-Man spin-off film would have given them a real chance at a proper franchise. But unfortunately, production took an ungodly amount of time. From its planning phase in 2017, all the way to its release in 2022, the momentum had disappeared years before Morbius ever hit the screens. Really, the film had pretty much everything working against it. A terrible domestic box office of 73 million and even worse reviews led to Sony pulling it from theaters shortly after release. But it was so poorly received and so many people were talking about it online that Sony misinterpreted this as genuine interest and re-released it again. But Morbius only sold around $300,000 in tickets the second time around. It makes it one of, if not the only major release to bomb twice in a row. You can start to notice a pattern emerging. When studios try to start their own cinematic universes, it often goes horribly wrong. We already briefly mentioned Warner Bros. And the troubles with the DC Extended Universe. But Universal also tried their hand at recreating the success of Marvel. While the other studios were messing around with superheroes, Universal didn't have the rights to many of those. What they did have was the ownership of tons of old horror movie creatures, just like The Mummy. With those, they hoped to set up the Dark Universe, a whole franchise of rebooted monster films. By 2012, they had decided to reboot their old Mummy franchise. Brendan Fraser and the characters that people knew and loved were out, but what would come in their place? The Mummy reboots had to both outperform the old Mummy movies in the eyes of the public, whilst also setting up a whole new franchise. Universal wanted things to move quickly, and they didn't want to miss the bus. But after chewing through a few different directors and scripts, years later, they weren't anywhere near close to release. It was only when Tom Cruise was locked in as the star in late 2015 that things got moving, but it still took another 2 years before they finally released the movie. At the end of the day, audiences went to the theater and saw what amounted to a Tom Cruise film. After getting hired, he had pretty much taken over the production and direction of the movie, which really clashed with the dark universe of monsters and the feeling that Universal had wanted to set up. Meanwhile, the humor and the life of the old films was also nowhere to be seen. It pleased nobody and bombed so hard that the whole cinematic universe was cancelled. Universal would later say that they had given up on cinematic universes altogether, opting to go back to standalone films instead. Looking at it all from this perspective, you can see how Hollywood has played itself into a corner. The popular franchises make hundreds of millions or billions in profits for the studio that owns them. Meanwhile, original films or films trying to start new franchises do incredibly poorly in comparison. Studios have lost faith in original blockbusters. Last year in 2024, the top 14 films in the domestic box office were unoriginal. You have to go down to the 15th spot in the American box office before you find a film that just isn't a sequel, reboot, or some other kind of franchise fodder. The studios are facing a reckoning for this now, though. They've been happy to shovel out the same kinds of films over and over again, slowly losing the respect of the audience over time. And why wouldn't they, after all, if people keep watching? It could easily prove to be a fatal mistake, as no franchise lasts forever, and studios like Disney are now in awful positions. Star Wars has lost its luster, the MCU has fallen off hard, and so Disney has fallen back on the classics to get by, literally. But now even their live action reboots are just going awfully wrong. The recent Snow White film is by far the worst of them, in both box office performance and its overall quality. Other studios have all but panicked, throwing money at whoever's able to turn a profit. When Joker made over $1 billion in 2019, Warner Bros. Were happy to write a blank check for the sequel. The only problem was that the people who made that film decided to do as much damage to its legacy as possible. It seemed like they went intentionally out of their way to try and annoy the fans of the first movie, turning the sequel into this weird musical takedown of everything the previous film tried to do. And the sequel had around 4 times the budget, but made less than a fifth of the first film in revenue. This isn't the only way that Hollywood has turned against the audience in the face of this new reality. Lots blame the general public for the lack of originality at the top. This year has seen lots of original flops, while franchise and spin-off films are the only ones doing well. The argument goes that Hollywood is just reacting to what people want. They aren't to blame for what the audiences reward. But this doesn't really seem right either. Instead, you can explain the drop in originality by looking at the situation on the ground floor instead. Going to the theatre today is expensive. Tickets are generally around double what a month of a subscription service costs. So if you're going to go and see a film, it better be good. This means that people are going to fall back on what they know or just on word of mouth. If everyone's talking about a movie, it gets the seal of approval and casual moviegoers might actually go see it whether it's original or not. Otherwise, people want a familiar name so that they know they just won't be throwing their money away. What's more, ticket sales have gone down anyway. Ever since the lockdowns in 2019, sales have been falling, and even in 2024, they fell compared to 2023. Studios went into hibernation over lockdown, hoping for a big resurgence in films when the restrictions were lifted. But instead, it just gave the streaming services an opportunity to capture the market. Which all brings us back full circle to Netflix and the Electric State. As movie flops go, it's a pretty unsatisfying one. With pretty much no cultural impact whatsoever and no real way to know how much money is really lost, the days of the massive cinema flops might come to an end soon. Instead, the terrible films of the future might just fade away like the Electric State, sitting at the bottoms of timelines and recommendation queues. Really, it takes away from the whole beauty of the cinematic flop. It's the only place left we get to see massive corporations fail spectacularly, in a mostly transparent and measurable way. So while we might be in the golden age of movie flops right now, hopefully it won't also end up being the final chapter as well.